Okay, well, I have obviously a Mother's Day message, and because Mother's Day in Mexico lands the 10th of May, no matter what, so I've had to celebrate it all week because my mom started celebrating on Tuesday, you know. So, I've titled my message, 10 Ways My Mother Shaped Me in Who I Am Today. All right, another title I want to give to is Ode to Mom. Ode to Mom, you know, for those of you that are poetic. I just want to say before I get started, every mom is different. You know, your mom, or if you're a mom, very likely you were not like my mom. Every mom is unique, but they all have a unique gift and placement by God. You know, you were placed there, or you were given that mother for a reason, you know, and God works all things for good for those that love Him. So I don't want you to feel in any way like, you know, why didn't I do that, or why wasn't I like that, or wasn't my mom like that? That's not what this message is about. This is designed to encourage you. You know, so if you are a mother, this message is for you. If you've had a mother, this message is for you. You know, if you're in Sierra Vista today, this message is for you, okay? So I'm just going to get you to receive something here today one way or the other. But I've been praying that the Holy Spirit will speak exactly, you know, what each of you needs to take away before we leave here today. And, you know, I'm going to do the impossible to go quickly through this because I want you to get the proverbial chicken, you know, with your family, okay? So I'm going to go quickly. I want to start with 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. It says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Okay, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, but I myself have had a Lois and a Eunice, you know, that have been a great blessing to me. I'm going to focus on my Eunice, but I'm going to talk a little bit about Lois as well later on. Okay, as the Apostle Paul alludes here, it's important how mothers, fathers, sons, and daughters, you know, that we understand that more is caught than taught. Does anybody understand that? More is caught than taught. You know, we are human beings, not human doings. God cares more about what we are than what we do. Another way to say it, He cares more about our why than our what. This morning, my daughter was saying, hey, for Father's Day, I want to get up on stage. All of a sudden, just becoming a ham. And I want to sing a song, you know, in front of everybody. And I said, oh, that's awesome. What are you going to do? This and that. I want to do this song. And I said, maybe you can talk to Marcia. She can help you with some stuff. And Marcia's like, what? You know. And then I said, now let's talk about the why. Why do you want to do this? And, I mean, she gave me an amazing speech. You know, it was good. You know, I'm praying for her every day, you know, but I hope it was sincere. I was talking about how, like, Jesus is getting into me, and the devil's leaving, and I'm being changed, and, you know, and I'm like, all right, right, sounds good. Sounds like you're getting the why. So, starting with number one, I said 10 things, right? Number one, my mother, my Eunice, she took me to church even though my dad was not going. Okay, it may seem simple, but when I was a small child, she gave her life to the Lord. You know, I must have been about 3 or 4. I'm not even sure when that happened, but I was very small. It took 5 years for my dad to give his life to the Lord. So she took me to church, and she raised us up as best she could. 1 Peter 3:1 says, "Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that any of them do not believe in the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives." Okay, God used her. You know, she wasn't perfect. She was just growing up as a baby Christian. You know, but she made a dent, and obviously my dad ended up coming as well. And that's an amazing testimony all in itself, but one day maybe I'll get into that. Number two, she taught me the word and taught me to love the word. Okay, she used different incentives to get us to memorize the books of the Bible. You know, car rides and road trips were especially important. I remember just sitting in the back seat, and Mom would say, okay, whoever can recite this will get this, you know, whatever was a a treat or some money or something like that. She was always ensuring that we would learn and memorize the books of the Bible. She always had illustrated versions of the Bible for us as we were growing up. So, you know, by the time I was about 10 years old, I already knew most of the big stories or the famous stories of the Bible. You know, I'm talking about the Garden of Eden. I'm talking about David, you know, even about Paul's missionary travels, Jesus, you know, Christmas, all that stuff I knew. Not because I had read the actual Bible in many cases, but because I had this illustrated Bibles. But most of all, I don't know how many times I walked into her room and she was sitting up in bed. I remember, which is usually with her covers over her legs, you know, with some pillows behind her, and she had her Bible open. You know, I have that very vivid memory over and over and over. My mom just sitting there reading her Bible, studying her Bible. If I opened her Bible anytime, there was just a million annotations, you know, throughout. So I knew that she was not just reading, she was studying it. You know, like I said, more is caught than taught. She loved the Word, and she put that in our hearts. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7 says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Amen. Number three, she fought for us to the point of tears. And these are not maybe in a specific order, but this is as I jotted them down. I remember when we were little, she would pray, and she would confess to us that she would say to God, "God, if they're going to grow up and not follow you and fall away and be lost, I'd rather you just take them now." Isn't that a crazy prayer? You know, I'm glad that we were going to fall away. I might not be here today, you know, because of that prayer. But, you know, she understood that, you know, just take them as a baby, you know, when they don't know anything. And rather than endure a life of away from you and eternity away from you. Another example of that is my brother Jorge, which many of you know. He's a pastor of Centro Cristiano Shiloh. And a lot of people may not know that he had a rebellious streak. When he was a teenager, he was the black sheep for a while, all right, of the Villalbazos. You know, if there ever was one, it was Jorge. When he was about a junior in high school, his senior year, he would sneak out. He would go to parties. He smoked and he drank and who knows what else, you know. I don't want to air out all of his sins, you know. But he was the kind of guy that would like put the pillows under the bed and go out the window, you know. And my mom, being as discerning as she was, she knew it, you know. She would read his mail. It's like, something's not right. And go into his room, it was like, yep, I knew he wasn't here. And so at least on one occasion, she drove to the place where they were having a little get-together, a party, and show up. It's like, what are you doing here? You know, she chased him down. She was good. But, you know, she spent many times just crying out to God with tears, you know, asking God to touch Jorge and obviously to reach all of us. You know, she just really went in intercession mode, you know, and so that's what I really learned from her. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 through 11 says, "So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the sea by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head.'" And she, just like Hannah, my mother, really just gave us to the Lord since a young age. Number four, she asks us for forgiveness when she made mistakes. You know, how many know that there's no perfect mother out there? You know, they make mistakes. You know, they overdo it at times. And we knew it, and she knew it. But even though she was a very strong woman, at times a woman of temper. But I would say that she sought us out, and she would ask for forgiveness. And it's okay that our children know that, hey, I messed up. I'm sorry. I overdid it. Or, you know, let's talk about this. And that they know that it's okay. And we teach them how to ask for forgiveness as well. I apologize. You know, I'm sorry how I made you feel, that kind of thing. Matthew 5, chapter 5, verses 23 to 24, says, therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar and then remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, and this verse is mainly talks to fathers, but it applies to mothers as well. It says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Number 5, and I hope this makes you feel good that I'm moving along. She honor her elders. As the oldest of her siblings, you know, and just so you know, my grandfather left them when she was 6. There was 4 of them, you know, so my grandmother raised them, you know, as a single mother. And it was a very difficult times, you know, but when she started working, you know, she always helped to take care of the younger ones, and she always sent money home. You know, when I was about 10 years old, my mother and my father, they bought her a house. You know, they honor her, right, my grandmother. My grandfather on my dad's side, who was a very rough, proud man, and some of you might have met him. He died in 1999. He was difficult, but the Lord dealt with him through a stroke. All of a sudden, he ended up bedridden and couldn't move. And the, you know, he was living in Mexico, and my brothers and I, we drove down to Mexico in a van. We got all of his possessions that we brought him with us. And he moved here. He lived here with us the rest of his years. It's kind of interesting because he said, I don't want to die away from Mexico, you know, and he died here in Sierra Vista, you know, but he was a proud man, and he was, even though he was religious, he did not have a relationship with Jesus. But my mom won him over. She honored him. And he had a knee surgery, you know, and it was because he had had problems with diabetes and sugar problems, the wounds weren't healing. And so for many weeks and even months, you know, my mom would every day clean his wounds, you know, just tend to him and clean his wounds and love on him and be tender to him. And even though he had at times been harsh with her as, you know, throughout the years, she won him over. You know, she honored this man. And you know what? Eventually, he gave his life to the Lord. And I really believe it. Part of it is because my mom honored, you know, the generation before her. We must honor the previous generation. I believe, you know, if you think about the Ten Commandments right now, you know, there's 10 of them, but the first 4 relate to God. You know, and the 5 through 10 relate to how we relate to others. And it's amazing that the very first one of those, number 5, it says, honor your father and your mother. That's how important it is to God that we honor authorities. And maybe that is sounds a little convicting, because sometimes if I were to ask anybody here, how many of you broken that commandment? We can probably say, yeah, we've all broken it. We've all dishonored them. And to honor them means many things. But to me, one of the ways that I've always honored them, what I've felt in my heart to do it, is to make them proud. It's to make them proud. You know, if something happened to me, if I got a raise, if I got a job, if something great, I would run to my dad, I would run to my mom, hey, I just want to let you know this happened. And I would just see their faces light up. You know, thank you for sharing that with us. And then I would share it with the rest of the world. You know, that's just the way I honor them. But I think that like the Apostle John said, you know, my greatest blessing is to see my children walking in the light, you know, and that was really fulfilled and when they saw me doing well. Another way I honored her is she told me, never ever get a motorcycle. And so as Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, this is not of the Lord, this is for me, you know. Motorcycles are dangerous, and to this day I've honored her, and I've never gotten a motorcycle. You know, for those of you that know my earlier life, I couldn't even handle a car, much less a motorcycle. I've been accident free for many years now, but I had a streak. Anyway, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God has given you. I'm living in the blessing. And, you know, I really believe it's because I was taught to honor the previous generations, and starting with my parents, but also my pastors, my leaders, my elders. Amen. Number 6. She encouraged me to venture out in ministry or in life, to be faithful and to not give up. She was the first to encourage me to get involved in the Centro Cristiano Chavez worship team as a teenager. You know, and she encouraged me to go out and become the youth pastor. You know, and over, she's encouraged me. When I was a junior in college at the U of A, I was doing mechanical engineering. At the same time, I was doing worship at the church and doing youth ministry. And I began to really like music. I thought I was going to be a musician for a second. You know, I'm really not talented. You know, when I watch, you know, Kaya, I go, like, I can't play like that. But I thought I was for a while. So I told her, you know, I want to quit engineering after my third year. And I want to go into music. And she said, oh, no, you're not. Oh, no, you're not. And if you know my mother, you know, you can see how kind of face she said that with, you know. You know, I said, you're going to finish. I said, okay, I'm going to finish. You know, and I'm glad I did. And I'm glad I did. It has opened so many doors. It's just a source of blessing throughout. So you got to listen to your parents, all right? And don't get a motorcycle. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry, Tony, I'm discouraging your ministry here. You know, I'm all right, number seven. She taught me the sense of right and wrong. Oh, boy, did she tell me the difference between right and wrong. She had a prophetic, you know, a motivation and gifting, and she could spot gray anywhere, anytime. You know, if there was any shenanigans, any wishy-washiness, any flakiness as a Christian, oh, she was spotted out a mile away. She was the kind of person. I tell everybody, my conscience has her voice. You know, it's like, what do you think you're doing? Oh, what? Yes, Mom. It's like, you know, so today I really believe that we can walk a straight line because of the instillment of the word, you know. And I mean, I was 28 years old. I was already, you know, living away from, you know, I had my own house, you know, and I had this girlfriend. It was in Raquel's before Raquel. But I was at their place and we're watching a movie, you know, and so we had a blanket. Okay, so we had the blanket over both of us. And she was kind of walking by the hallway, and she saw us like, what are you doing? And just ripped, you know, like, she knew better than, you know, you don't put like two single people under a blanket, you know, watching a movie in a room. You know, you just don't do that, you know. Do you think that left a significant impression in my life? Yeah, you better believe it did. I did not like it at that moment, and I argued with her. It's like, you just made me look really foolish, you know, but I'm so glad that she did. You know, I went to a marriage as a virgin, and I thank God for the fear of the Lord that she instilled on me. You know, it was the fear of God or the fear of Mom, one of the two. Yes, I did get the belt, and I got the chancla, if you know what that means. That means the sandal, you know, the... You know, she was good. Broken wooden spoons, backhand. I mean, you know, I got it all. She batted for the cycle. Number eight. She showed me how to persevere in the midst of criticism and that it's okay to be different. She used to say, there's always someone faster, stronger, and smarter than you. So do not measure yourself by others. As a new believer, I was baptized at the age of 10. I gave my life to the Lord at 8. I was baptized at 10. But she never treated me like a child. You know, at our church, the way we had communion, we had a special service on Monday nights just for those that had been baptized, members that were baptized. And while my siblings were watching cartoons on Monday night, she would tell me, okay, time, we got to go to the communion service. And so my dad was working, and it was my mom and I going to the communion service. She treated me like a real Christian. She didn't say, oh, you're just a child. Just stay home and watch Transformers. Because they were watching Transformers, and I wanted to watch Transformers. You know, but, you know, she knew, hey, he needs to grow up as a real Christian, not as a second-hand citizen. You know, sometimes we treat young Christians like that, and that's the message that they receive. And later on, when there were opportunities to minister, she never discouraged me. One day they were like, hey, we're going to go to this village a couple of hours away, you know, the pastor and a couple of the people. Who wants to go? And it was open to the church. I raised my hand. So here I go on this Saturday with three adults and Eric, 10 years old, you know, and we went and we ministered in this village, you know, and all I had to do was give my testimony. That was my job, you know. I came back, I fell asleep in the car just like every other kid. But they never discouraged me from doing things like that. You know, I was treated like a real Christian. I was taught to lay hands on the sick. I remember one time when we arrived at Shiloh, and I think we had like a prayer time like we always do in service, and they would say, hey, is there somebody that's sick or needs prayer? Please raise your hand. And those around you, you know, lay hands on the people. So I would go over and lay hands on them and pray for them. And I remember this people were like, wow, you really bless me that you're a, you know, teenager and that you're doing those things, you know. I didn't think anything of it because that's the way I had been raised. Okay, so I thank my mom for that, teaching me to, you know, be a real Christian at any age. Amen. So she took me to prayer meetings. And so even if none of my peers were doing that, I was okay with that. When I was a senior year, when I was a senior in high school, my senior year, I was the captain of the soccer team. But I was leading worship. And on a Thursday night, you know, we had our services, midweek services, and I was supposed to go to Douglas, for a soccer team, and I just told the guys, hey guys, I can't. I'm leading worship. What? You know, and so I just knew it was okay to be different and step out and do what was right at, you know, the right time. So I thank, you know, mom for instilling that. I remember a mother coming up to me and saying, thank you for doing that, for stepping out. You know, so it blessed other parents by me doing that. One of the things that my mom always did is she always said that she spoke prophetically over me and over my brothers and my sister. And she always said, Eric, you're like Joseph. You're like Joseph. And I've never really understood that, but in the way that I've been blessed by God through my life, I really understand that. And for those of you who are here Sunday night, it was really interesting because Tim Gidley just went back and said, Eric, I see God giving you a multicolored robe. You know, it may have not meant anything to anybody else in the room, but I knew it because my mom had always told me, you are like Joseph. You are like Joseph. Amen. Number 9, she showed me how to love others and to pastor. You know, throughout the years, I saw them giving of their time, money, sweat, tears, pouring out grace while often being criticized and rejected, and they never quit. She encouraged, rebuked, and taught the word. They visited and hosted many. Many times they never received the word of thanks. And it's okay. And it's all right. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 say, for all things are for your sakes. That grace having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For a light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Amen. Amen. And number 10, she taught me about faith and the supernatural power of God. You know, I just keep giving you some anecdotes. At Centro Cristiano, many years ago, we had one of our members' parents visit, and the father was from Puerto Rico, and the mother was from Japan. I don't know how they got together, but they did. You know, my mom wanted to pray for her, and she began to speak in tongues, and the lady just said, "I just understood everything you said." And she had been a Buddhist, and after that day, she was a Christian. You know, yes. So I saw 1 Corinthians, you know, 12 through 14 exemplified right there in front of me, you know, through my mom. I saw them deal with demon-possessed people. Yes. You know, and not shy away. Just go in faith and begin to cast them out. She taught me to pray for a godly woman. When I was a teenager, she said, Eric, start praying for your wife. You know, start praying for your wife, you know, and wait for God. And I thank God because I have an amazing wife. Yes, and a great mother. Yes. She wasn't even born yet when I was praying for her. I Acts chapter 2, verses 17 through 19 says, in the last day, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. And let me tell you why this lesson was one of the most important. Because the power of the Holy Spirit, because the life of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the great equalizer. He is the great equalizer. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter your social status, what language you spoke. It doesn't matter how much you've been trained. It doesn't matter, you know, how you were wronged, how many mistakes you made as a mother. When the Holy Spirit steps in, He writes all things. If there's anything you want to pray for your children about, is that they be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, and when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. We didn't make up that term. Jesus made it up. You know, it was His thing. It says, when you're in rapture in the Holy Spirit, it says, then you will have power to be my witnesses. You know, and I was a child that had a really bad temper. I told you in times past that I would get in fights in school. You know, when I was about 7 to 10, even I think I was in 7th grade or 8th grade the last time I got in a fight. But I used to be a quick-tempered kind of guy. And when I became a believer, that's one of the first things she said to me, Eric, you need to ask God to change you. You need to ask God to change you. And I remember just crying out to God and with tears and saying, God, I don't want to be like this anymore. And the Holy Spirit began to do a work in me. And He began to change me and mold me. You know, put desires in me. And, you know, most people wouldn't even think, hey, I can't believe that was you. Because they think I'm so patient, you know, but that was me. So the Holy Spirit righted it all. There's not a perfect parent here. And if you think that you were just this amazing, you know, parent because you read Dobson's books or anything like that, let me tell you, you know, there's no way you can protect your children or prepare your children for the world that we live in today. The only one that can protect them is the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is in the mix, they're not going to be on the defensive. They're going to be on the offensive. We're not here to say, oh, let not the world attack us and affect us. No. You know, we want to impact the world. And only the Holy Spirit can get us to that place. So if there's one lesson you can teach, you know, teach your children, or if there's one thing you need to be praying about, is Lord God, fill them with the Holy Spirit. Fill them with the Holy Spirit at a young age. May they fall in love with you, God. May they spend a lot of time in your presence. May they be a people of prayer. May they be a people of the Word. Because that is the greatest gift you can pass on to your children. Even if you make every mistake, the Holy Spirit will take them the rest of the way. Even today, you know, some of you say, well, it's too late. It's not too late. It is never too late. God has given us a hope. And some of you say, well, my children are old. I have grandchildren now. Well, be a mentor. Begin to pray those prayers now. The Bible says, you know, and we were given that word three times last Sunday, you know, in Isaiah 43:18, that we need to forget the things of the past. You know, forget all the things of the past. Don't live there. You know, even Apostle Paul said, you know, one thing I do, I put all things behind me and I look forward to what God has for me. God is a God of the now and of the future. Of the now and the future. Yes, He can use all that. He can somehow make sense of it. But we're living in the now. 2 years ago, I was in a bad place. But today I can stand here as your pastor because God did a work of hope in my life. You know, why? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. I hope you're getting this. I hope that you're quiet because it's seeping into you. All right, I want to say something about my grandmother, my Lois, before I close. She is either 94 or she's going to be 94. Her name is Constanza. We call her Cota. But she gave her life to the Lord when she was 20. And like I told you, she was left with four children. Actually, even more sometimes because he had a child with another woman. So sometimes there was five in the house. And one of them was not even hers. But she raised them up. And one of the amazing things about her is she can handle the iPad better than most of us. Yes. Yes. She never learned to drive, but she can handle an iPad. You know, I don't know how she does that. She's almost self-sufficient. She still cooks, you know, showers, all that stuff by herself. She's very healthy, and I really believe is because she has honored the Lord all of her life. You know, she intercedes, she prays in tongues, and she sings throughout the night. Sometimes entire nights, you can just hear her in her room, just singing to the Lord and praying for people. Amen. And another thing, in all the years that she raised, you know, my mother and her siblings, you know, my uncle, my aunts, if you talk to them, they say, we never, ever, ever, ever heard her say one thing bad about your grandfather. They did not grow up bitter, regretful, hateful, spiteful, because she never spoke ill of him, even though he had not been there. That says a lot right there. So, I want to say something else, is that, and obviously, there's still life to be lived, but you know, in her generations, none of her children and grandchildren, and most of her grandchildren are married now, there's never been divorce. Not one divorce. You know, just, and I think that that's a testament, you know, of her commitment to the Lord, you know, obviously what God has done in her life, you know. But I want to say, this is the legacy that I have. And because I'm here, it's the legacy that you have. And I hope that it impacts you, you know, in a way just like it has impacted me. I thank God for my mother and my grandmother. I want to read the fifth commandment one more time, Deuteronomy 5:16. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that it may live long, that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You know. And I want to close with this. When I was thinking about this message, I wanted to do a crowd-pleasing message. But as I began to intercede and pray for you guys and pray in the Spirit, all I kept seeing was this image of David fighting a bear over a sheep. And I think he wanted to say to us, he wants us to be like that, to fight for our children, to fight for our families, to snatch them, even if they've already been taken away. Hey, where are you going? No. That's not yours. And to fight with the spiritual tools that God has given us. Not in the flesh. Not with the armor of the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not of this world, but they are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. You know, we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. You know, so we need to go in our secret place, and we need to fight for our young children. Look at all these children that are going to be here. Do we want them to one day walk away? They're saying more than ever that children are walking away from the church, especially once they hit college. The liberal centers of this nation are our colleges and universities. They're ostracized for being different. Will they be able to withstand that? If the Holy Spirit is in them, they will, and it will make a difference. Just like Stephen withstood, you know, the harassment of the religious people of his day, and he was willing to be stoned for the message. That is the testament of the power and the work of the Holy Spirit in their life. Amen? So, will you stand up? I want to just pray for all of you, and I'm sorry that I ended up with such a strong note, but that's the kind of mother I had. She was strong. Oh, boy. Yeah. My grandmother's a softie now, but she was pretty strong, too. You know, she was a tough woman. So I just want to bless all of you mothers, because what you do is so important. You see yourself as David and go to that bear, go to that lion, and snatch the sheep from their mouth when they're trying to walk away with them. No. Just say no. Speak words of faith. Speak over your families. Claim the promises of God. You know, I pray for my daughters. You know, I say, Lord God, I don't ask that you keep them from pain and suffering. That's not what I ask you. What I ask is that they fulfill your dream for their lives and that they know you. That you fill them with the Holy Spirit as early as possible. Those little heathens that need to get saved, you know, they do. They do. I mean, they look all cute, but until I see the evidence, you know, in their lives, I know the little pagans, you know. They know how to manipulate me, you know. So I'm praying for them. I'm praying for them. Praying for them, you know. And I want you to do the same for your children. Pray over them. And remember, more is caught than taught. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for all the mothers that are here today. What a blessing to have them, Lord God. Father, your word says that there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, who live according to the Spirit, Lord God, Father. So I pray that all of us have made mistakes. I've made many mistakes as a father, but I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you can, you know, make straight the path for them that I try to make crooked. Lord God, Father, I pray, Lord God, that they would see you clearly and that they would give their lives to you, Lord God. And every mistake they've made at whatever stage they are in life, Lord God, Father, that they would be able to turn to you. For your word says that if we lean not on our own understanding, Father, you will make our path straight. If we acknowledge you in all of our ways, Lord God. So, Father, today we trust in you. Lord God, Father, I pray, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, Lord God, that we may, Father, be, not just do Christianity, Lord God, that we may be, Father, Christ-like in all that we do, Lord God, Father, I pray. And I pray for boldness, Father, to come upon us, Father, especially in our times of prayer, in our times to where we need to stand for what the Bible says, enough of what the world is saying, Lord God, that it's okay to be different, that it's okay to stand out, Lord God, Father. Hallelujah. If Jesus was misunderstood, that would be okay at being ostracized and misunderstood and rejected, Lord God, I pray. In Jesus' name, Father, bless every family here. Father, I pray that we'd have just an amazing time of fellowship, Lord God, Father, as they come together. And if they're away from their mothers or their family, Lord God, Father, somehow they would connect. Maybe through a phone call, through an email, through a text. Lord God, Father, I pray, bless them in Jesus' name. And to you be all of the glory. Amen. 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 Amen.